Okay, we heard Matchbox 20 there, Real World, and Pink Floyd, Young Lust, 93 XRT. We segue from Lust to Dan Wilson. How do you like that for a smooth segue?
Take it where I can get it.
There you go. We'll welcome Dan Wilson here to XRT. It's live from Studio X, brought to you by Miller Genuine Draft. And Dan, you're not exactly a new kid on the block. You've been
certainly not.
You've been busy and working, but you finally released your first solo album, Free Life. And what took you so long?
Well, about 3 years of perfectionism.
Uh-huh, there you go.
And then about 2 years of getting moved around like a chess piece from one record label to another. I had three labels during the making of the album, and the last couple of years, 2.5 years probably, just was a matter of getting things organized so I could have a label to put the record out on.
Do you feel like you need a label these days? You know, things are changing every day.
You know, the deal was that I had signed to someone, so I was going to get traded around, but no one was going to, you know, let me go with the record. It had to be on a label. So I'm happy with what I got. It's on American. It's coming out through Columbia, and it's out now, and I'm really happy. Really,
do you feel
really
like a utility infielder or something?
Yeah.
Moving
that's
you around?
Right, that's right. Yep, not a free agent, but that's all right. It seems to have worked out pretty good.
Well, you are like a utility infielder because you play so many roles in music. You've been a producer, songwriter, collaborator. You've been in bands and all that.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you like all of them, or do you have a preference?
I must like all of them because every time I get too overbalanced in one area, I kind of hustle up some work in another. I kind of overserved myself in the production side of things last year. I produced Absent Stars album that's coming out in the spring, and Mike Doty, The New Standards, Jeremy Messersmith. I'm glad to be doing this now because I think I got a little bit too involved in that. I really like to do this songwriting for other people's albums, and obviously my own work is important to me too. So,
well, they say a smart person isn't their own lawyer, and you're not your own producer, and I think that's kind of interesting.
Well, it's really true. I had produced my album up to a point, and then I just basically put word out that I needed a mentor, someone to just give me an objective view and teach me something.
And you got a good one, too.
I got Rick Rubin, who's...
That's amazing.
I could almost not have... I would have put my dream list together, and then I would have started trying to pick people below it, and Rick would have been up on the dream list if I'd had my way. You know,
oh, yeah. He's great. Yeah, so, yeah. So how do you feel about finally get your solo album out? Because when you're in a band, you it's sort of maybe not a democracy, but you have other people's points of view. Mm. You're sort of the boss of this. How does that feel?
That's, I hadn't even really thought about that aspect of it. One thing that I kind of took advantage of the solo record to collaborate with lots of people. So it's not really a solo CD. It's me and, you know, my wish list of friends and collaborators. There's some, you know, Sheryl Crow sings on it, and Mason Jennings plays guitar, and two of the players from Nickel Creek, Sean and Sarah Watkins, play and sing on it. I got my dream band from, you know, all over the country to play. So it was a little more than a solo record. It's sort of the opposite of a solo record. But that was maybe what freedom it gave me, you know?
Yeah, sure. But the buck stops here, you know? It's your record, so, you know, you can't blame it on the drummer in Semisonic and saying, oh, yeah, it's the drummer's fault. You didn't like that. Or
if you're the singer in the band, the buck stops here anyway.
Okay.
I mean, you know, with Semisonic...
Fair enough.
If people hated a song, they blamed me, and if people loved a song, I got way too much of the credit. So, you know, it's only fair.
Well, let's hear one of your new songs.
Cool. This is called Free Life. Let's take a little trip down where we used to go. It's way beyond the strip, a place they call your soul. We'll sit down for a while and let the evening roll. Don't worry about the time, we'll find a place to stay. The people around here seem familiar in some way. Look kinda like we did before we got so cold. And in the air the questions hang, will we get to do something? thing, who we gonna end up being, how we gonna end up feeling, what you gonna spend your free life on, free life. Let's fall in love again with music as our guide. We'll raise our ready hands and let go for the ride down into unknown lands where lovers meet and hide. We got these lives for free. We don't know where they've been. We don't know where they'll go when we are through with them. The starlight of the sun, the dark side of the moon, and in the air the questions hang. Will we get to do something? Who we gonna end up being? How we gonna end up feeling? What you gonna spend your free life on? Free. It seems so long ago, those empty afternoons, with nowhere much to go, and nothing much to do, but sit up in my room, and let the world unfold. In the air the questions hang, will we get to do something? Who we gonna end up being? How we gonna end up feeling? What you gonna spend your free life on? In the air the questions hang. Will we get to do? Will we get to do something? Gonna end up being? How, what you gonna spend your free life on? Free life, free life, free.
That's the title of the CD, Free Life. It's Dan Wilson joining us today on WXRT, WXRT HD1 Chicago. And it's good to have you in here, Dan.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
Really
Thanks
nice.
For having me.
People from Minneapolis are so nice. Is that Midwest? Or
We're nice, but we have a very sour and evil core.
Well, it's because of the winters, I think, you know. It's just sort of, you got to be tough. We have that same problem in Chicago. Very nice, but there's that core, you know.
I was just in... I'm not even really that familiar with this term, but I was once shouted, last week I was in Seattle and a heckler shouted at me from the back of the room, passive aggressive!
Oh, jeez!
And I didn't even know what to make of it. I was talking about Minneapolis, so he might have just been making a kind of a cultural statement about my hometown.
Oh.
That the people there are passive aggressive. But it was the most sophisticated heckle I ever had.
Well, yeah, and it's clean. You could say it on the radio.
I'm still waiting for someone to kind of, there was a moment of redemption later because a few minutes later, during a pause in the set, I was I mentioned passive aggressive, and another man from the back of the room shouted, "We're that way too." So I guess Seattle and Minneapolis have something in common. I have yet to learn what that is, but
yeah, we'll be in therapy for years trying to figure that out. Yeah, but that leads to that whole thing about not ready to make nice, but in a different sense, not ready to make nice. You were involved in that Dixie Chicks project, which was award-winning and successful, and actually politically astute too, and not the least bit passive aggressive.
Not passive aggressive, just forthright and honest and straight ahead. I you know, whether or not it was politically astute, I don't know. I kind of went into that writing session with the Chicks hoping that we could write something that just told the story of how it felt to go through what they went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you at right now with your experience of being blacklisted and called a traitor and you know, having one little sentence turned into this just black, you know, mark on your record, you know.
Right.
And I didn't really want to help them write a political song. And actually, it was interesting because when we got together, it turned out that they weren't really that interested in singing about politics. But they were interested in at least having a chance to speak back and maybe say their piece and maybe make a case for just having integrity and saying what you believe.
Right. And say what you mean what you say.
Yeah.
And of course, when you say you went into the studio with the Chicks, you can get away with it when it's the Dixie Chicks. It's not the PC police aren't going to be waiting outside the station for you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I did some covers of their the songs that the Dixie Chicks and I wrote together, and I made a little CD of them and sent them to the band, and I titled it DW Does the Chicks. And then I realized later how goofy that sounded.
Yeah.
I was regretting it, but they thought it was funny, so it's okay.
Well, I'm sure they've heard some jokes down
there.
Right. But it did remind me of that whole flap of when John Lennon said the Beatles were more popular than Jesus, you know, people out burning records and stuff. And here's an artist just trying to, you know, say how they see the world, and they don't intend for that kind of backlash.
Yeah, I don't
certainly
think John Lennon
was
saying that they ought to be more popular than Jesus.
No,
I think what he was saying
was
they ought not to be more popular than Jesus.
Yeah, if you read the paragraph, you'd kind of have a clue.
Well, I guess if you're a public figure, you're just going to deal with being, you know, misquoted and misconstrued once in a while, and there are such benefits to it, and you do get to speak your mind, and I am reminded by my fans all the time that I've got a bigger soapbox than they do.
Mm.
You know, if they disagree with me, one of the things they take me to task for is, you know, you get to say this to lots and lots of people. I don't agree with you, and I only get to just say it to my friends and you, you know. So it's interesting. You definitely should be held to a high standard if you're going to be a public figure and talking out in public.
It is a two-edged sword, though, because then there's that documentary about what the Chicks went through, Shut Up and Sing, where people think artists shouldn't comment on what's going on around them. But since Shakespeare and Aeschylus and before that, artists have been commenting on the world.
I think artists should. I mean, what is really that difference between me and Bill O'Reilly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're both part of the kind of entertainment media. We're both trying to speak our minds, and I'm not even that political. I mean, people don't think Dan Wilson, political commentator. All I'm saying is, what has he done to have the, you know, credentials to speak out any more than a really good songwriter who's thought a lot and traveled a lot and met, you know, thousands of ordinary people all around the country and talked to them about their point of view?
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for being a troubadour and then coming up to the surface and saying what you hear.
Exactly. And you've won some awards now. Is your head swelled over the Grammy, or are you okay now?
My friends would probably say my head was swollen already.
Oh, come on.
The Grammy was, you know, winning a Grammy was extremely exciting. It was never something I really thought about when I was a kid. It wasn't one of my dreams. And yet, when it happened, pretty much blew my mind.
Oh.
I had that experience you get when you almost black out. My vision turned to tunnel vision. And my hearing, it was almost like I got these cotton balls in my ears. I suddenly was like 1,000 feet away from everything in my own little bubble. And I did not expect to be that, you know, blown away by it.
Well, it's like homecoming king, you know. And speaking of the king, have you ever been to Graceland? Did you ever see Elvis's trophy room?
I have yet to visit Graceland. You know, I'm a fan, and I think part of the reason is I haven't visited is because it's been such a subject of fun and mockery. And I just think Elvis is so brilliant, or, you know, was obviously so brilliant and such a a unique singer and culturally such a visionary. He bridged a lot of divides that were seen as, you know, you don't touch that. You know, this one racial music is not to be mixed with that other racial music. And he just didn't care about any of that stuff. Mm.
You know? Well, he has a big trophy room. The designing tips, you might not be walking away with how to make your rec room, but there is a trophy room, and I'm thinking you keep going the way you're going, Dan, you're going to have to build a trophy room
yourself.
I'll
have a trophy room with leopard skin furniture and my Grammy.
There you go. How about another song?
Okay. This is called Cry.
One more long and lonely night left here on my own. Do you wanna make me wanna cry? I lost my baby in the fight. I don't know where you've gone. Do you wanna make me wanna cry? Don't you wanna make me feel like I'm a thousand stories high? Don't you wanna make me feel I'll never fail, I'll never die? Don't you wanna set me free, we'll override the history, turn to find our destiny and never turn away? The devil was an angel once, beautiful like you. Do you wanna make me wanna cry? I don't care how far you fall, I'll catch you when you do. Do you wanna make me wanna cry? So I close my eyes and I hold my head up high and I pray my soul not to break. Don't you wanna make me feel like I'm a thousand stories high? Don't you wanna make me feel I'll never fail no matter why? Don't you wanna set me free, we'll override the history, turn to find our destiny and never turn away? Do you really want to say goodbye? Do you wanna make me wanna cry? Don't you wanna make me feel like I'm a thousand stories high? Don't you wanna make me feel I'll never fail, I'll never die? Don't you wanna set me free, we'll override the history, turn to find our destiny, never turn away from me? Don't you wanna make me feel like I'm a thousand stories high? Don't you wanna make me feel I'll never fail, I'll never die? Don't you wanna set me free, we'll override the history, turn to find our destiny and never turn away. Do you really want to say goodbye? Do you wanna make me wanna cry? Do you wanna make me wanna cry?
What a pleasure it's been having you here on XRT, Dan Wilson.
For me, too. Thank you very much.
It was really nice, and continued success. I hope that trophy room expands. You might have to get one of those FEMA trailers next to your house and fill it up with trophies or whatever. But
I love the thought. Thank you.
Okay. The new album and actually your solo debut is Free Life, and welcome back anytime. We could just talk for hours.
I'd love to come back.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Thanks for being part of Live from Studio X at 93 XRT.